We start off in a discussion about an organization that is a nonprofit organization called the Neph Cure Foundation. Now, I'm just going to assume that many of the people listening to us have never heard of the Neph Cure Foundation. Michael Levine is joining us on our program, and Michael has an interesting story to share with us in the course of our discussion. He's a board member. First of all, Michael, it's nice to have you join us on our program.
Good morning, Bob. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you this early morning.
All right. I like that way of starting off. It's nice to have you join us. In your own words, how do you describe what the Neph Cure Foundation is?
Well, I guess, Bob, the best way to describe the Neph Cure Foundation would say that it's an organization that has helped my family and many families across the nation get through a battle with an extremely devastating kidney disease that destroys the kidneys and destroys families and destroys lives when you are afflicted with it and when you battle it.
Now, this has involved your family in your son, Matt, and his dealing with this. Some of the people listening to us may be familiar with Matt's story, but I'm going to assume the majority of our listeners are not. Would you tell us that story?
Yeah, sure. About 6.5 years ago, Bob, my son, Matthew Levine, he was waking up in the morning. His eyes looked like Rocky Balboa at best. It looked like he had two softballs above his eyes. His eyes were almost completely closed as slits, and it looked like he had two softballs above his eyelids. And we didn't think much of it, and we talked to the pediatrician. The pediatrician thought it was just an allergic reaction, and we had a blood test and a urinalysis done, a simple blood test and a urinalysis, and my wife Dana got a call on the Long Island Expressway the next day from the pediatrician, and the pediatrician said, you better get your son over to Long Island Jewish Medical Center immediately. And my wife said to the pediatrician, well, why am I doing that? And he says, I'm not at liberty to tell you. She says, well, if I'm taking my six-year-old to the emergency room at Long Island Jewish, I got to know why. And he said, it looks like your son's an immediate kidney failure. Mm. It turned out that he was later diagnosed with FSGS. And FSGS is a very rare kidney disease that has no known cure since the diagnosis. His cholesterol has gotten as high as 375. His blood pressure is through the roof. He's vitamin D deficient. He's anemic. And he's my hero and our hero in that he takes 16 pills a day to combat all this stuff that has occurred with this battle with FSGS.
16 pills a day.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Wow. I got to ask the question I'm assuming some of the people listening to us would think. Considering he's doing that at this relatively young age and being saddled with all these things that one would think somebody that young should not be saddled with, what's his attitude?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think the only silver lining, Bob, in this battle is his attitude and the way he's attacked this disease. Needless to say, the one thing that we will not let him know is we will not let him or my daughter, we will not let them know the magnitude of this battle and this disease. They know that he has the disease and they know it's a kidney ailment. We have never let him know the magnitude, but his body language and his aura about him, he's been spectacular the whole way through. He's like a human pincushion in that he gets a blood test and a urinalysis once a month, every month. His attitude has just been spectacular in that he smiles all the time and he battles and he fights, and he's just an amazing little boy, an amazing little child.
How does this affect him in terms of schooling and development and the like?
Right now, his kidney function is stable. Mm-hmm. They say his kidneys are like a ticking time bomb, and they could fail at any minute of any day. I actually tell people that battling this disease is like walking in the dark on glass every day, because you will never know what this disease or these drugs will do to the human body next. But with that being said, thank goodness right now in Matthew's case, he's been able to go to school. He's been able to go to camp. He plays Little League. He plays tennis. We just got to watch his diet. We got to watch his salt intake because it's the kidneys. But for the most part right now, you would think the interesting thing about this disease is right now, if you look at him outwardly, he looks like your normal average child. But from the inside, his kidneys and everything else that's going on with the cholesterol, the high blood pressure, the anemia, and the vitamin D deficiency, obviously when you get a blood test and your analysis, you would see that this disease is destroying his little body from the inside out.
Mm. And your daughter's attitude?
I would say, Bob, my daughter Sydney, who's 3 years older than Matthew. Matthew is now 9. He's been battling this for 6.5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's 12. She's been spectacular through it all as well. She's very motherly, very caring, very loving, understands that her younger brother, you know, is different than everybody else and has different issues. And she's been spectacular in that fashion, and that she's been very motherly, caring, and loving towards us and towards her younger brother, trying to help him get through this.
When you talked at the beginning of our discussion about this disease being so rare, I mean, is there any sort of number or numbers put on just how rare this is?
Well, I say it's rare. It's still considered a very rare condition in the United States, but I can give you some of the raw numbers.
Mm-hmm.
FSGS has become the leading cause of kidney failure in children in the entire United States. Because it's so hard in this country for us to get to the patients and the patients to get to us, they think there's about 8,000 new diagnoses every year in the United States, 5,000 of which are children. I was told that 20 plus years ago, this disease was predominantly known as an adult African-American male disease, and now, 20 years later, the scary thing about this disease is that it's growing, it's evolving, it has no parameters, if you will. They say it's now affecting all ages, all creeds, all colors, male, female, black, white, green, yellow, you could be 2 years old and get FSGS, you could be 62 years old when you could get FSGS or nephrotic syndrome, and it could cause immediate kidney failure. And I think, Bob, I've been told that there's 32 million Americans, I think is the number, that suffer from kidney disease. But they say that FSGS and nephrotic syndrome is one of the most common and one of the most devastating kidney diseases. And I think I've been told that we spend about $20 billion a year on kidney-related issues. You're talking about dialysis and medical stuff, and about $5 billion of that is strictly spent on FSGS and nephrotic syndrome patients.
I asked about Matthew, I asked about Sydney. How about you and your wife, Dana? How have you guys held up in this?
Bob, I tell people that battling this disease is like walking in the dark on glass every day, because you never know what this disease is going to do to the human body, or the drugs are going to do to the human body next. When Matthew was diagnosed at Montefiore Hospital 6.5 years ago, I'll never forget it. The two nice ladies there, the two social workers, said two things to my wife and I. They said, "Your lives have been changed forever upon this diagnosis." And then the second thing they told us was, they said, "Try not to gravitate towards Matthew all the time, because that would have, you know, a negative effect upon Sydney." I think battling this disease, you know, it's very difficult for the both of us. It's not easy. It's a daily grind. I think the two of us have the fact that we've joined the NephCure Foundation, an incredible foundation. They've been a savior to us, and I think we've been a savior to them. I think we fight this thing head on every day. But with that being said, you live in fear every day. It's very, very scary. And I joined the NephCare Foundation 6.5 years ago because I don't want any parent or grandparent or grandchild or child have to go through the same living hell that my family has gone through the last 6.5 years in this battle. So I felt that it would be the best for us to get on the front lines and battle this thing head on, and that's what we've done. And I think we've done an incredible job doing what we do. But needless to say, Bob, you live in fear every day waiting for the axe to fall because we know that the kidneys could fail any minute of any day.
Mm. And then you also, I'm assuming, have to deal with the whole issue of transplant.
Yes. That's another great question. And the problem with this disease is it is going to cause Matthew's kidneys to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to be talking about dialysis and kidney transplantation. And the problem with this disease is it can attack the kidney transplant 30 to 70% of the time. So the kidney transplant is not an answer right now. It might just be a stopgap, if you will. There's a gentleman out on Long Island. His name is Tim Brink. He's had 4 kidney transplants due to his battle with FSGS, and FSGS has attacked the new kidney all 4 times. And there's a young lady on Long Island. She's about 16 years old. She battled FSGS for 9 years. She waited for a kidney for 3 years. She recently got the kidney about a year and a half ago, and the FSGS attacked the new kidney within 1 hour of the transplant surgery.
Wow. In terms of what we know about FSGS, where is the leading research, leading information coming from?
Well, the NephCure Foundation, I think we fund about 32 projects. We fund 32 projects in the entire world. We've actually, about 2 years ago, we had a huge step. We got involved in what's called the Neptune Project. That was where the NephCure Foundation put $2 million towards research, and then the NIH, National Institute of Health, put $2 million towards research, and then there was $2 million put towards research from 6 research centers around the country. So it's a $6 million research consortium, if you will. And I've been told if the NIH gets involved in one of your projects, it gives you instant respectability in the research community around the world. But to answer your question, University of Miami has a very good is doing a lot of work on FSGS and nephrotic syndrome. University of Michigan, then there's a few hospitals in Boston, Harvard, and a couple of Massachusetts General, and then the Children's Hospital in Boston. I think it's growing, and we're helping fund a bunch of these projects. The unfortunate thing is, Bob, is that last year, the fortunate or unfortunate thing is that the NephCure Foundation and FSGS have a huge identity crisis right now. That's why I got involved. I figure the only way we can create this miracle and save lives is to get enough awareness and exposure to the NephCure Foundation and to FSGS and nephrotic syndrome. This way we can raise enough money to create this miracle and find a cure. So that's become my goal in life, is to raise enough money. Last year, the NephCure Foundation raised about $2.7 million privately in the entire country, in comparison to the Michael J. Fox Foundation, which raised about $52 million privately in the entire country.
It puts everything in perspective. We're going to do more to help you in raising awareness about the NephCure Foundation and also about the illness that we're talking about. We're in discussion with Michael Levine on our program. He's joined us in hour one of our show today. We're talking about the work of the NephCure Foundation. Michael is a board member. His son, Matthew, is 9 years old now. For 6.5 years, he's been battling FSGS, which is an illness that Michael has shared some of the information with us about. You were talking before we paused for our sports update and messages about the efforts to try to deal with the identity crisis that you said faces NephCure Foundation. And when you said that, I was struck by a couple of different things. One is the fact that I think it'd be very important for us right now to talk about how it is the people who are listening to our discussion today can be involved in being supportive of the efforts of the NephCure Foundation. The other thing is we have not, as of yet, given out a way for people to reach the foundation. Can you do both of those?
Well, the NephCure Foundation is based out of Berwyn, Pennsylvania. The website is www.nephcure.org. So you could certainly go to the website and obviously take a look at all the information that is there. The phone number of the NephCure Foundation is 610-540-0186. 610-540-0186. And the website, again, is www.nephcure.org. And needless to say, Bob, either way is a good way to reach out to the NephCure Foundation. The NephCure Foundation, when I started with the NephCure Foundation 6.5 years ago, I think we had 2 walks around the entire country. I think now we have approximately 46 walks around the country, and that's to deal with just what you and I were talking about before the update and before the commercial break, in saying that, needless to say, I think the only way to beat this disease is to bring enough awareness and exposure to the disease and the foundation, and to deal with that identity crisis, if you will.
Hmm. And those walks, how do they help in, I guess, getting the word out?
Well, the walks, the greatest thing about the walks is that, needless to say, with a walk, you don't have too many costs involved with a walk. Basically, you just have to purchase some T-shirts. So all the dollars and cents you raise at a walk go directly to research and education. One of the first questions a lot of people ask me about the NephCure Foundation before they get involved is they want to know how much of their dollar is going towards research and education.
Mm-hmm.
And that number is 84 cents out of every dollar goes to research and education. So we have these walks, 46 of them around the country, and 84 cents out of every dollar we raise goes to research and education. And at these walks, we give out all kinds of NephCure bracelets, NephCure brochures, NephCure T-shirts, in hopes that we will get to families that hear about us. A, obviously we want to reach out to as many families as we can across the nation, because the old adage, strength in numbers, if we can get to enough families and get enough families involved, if they know that somebody in their family is afflicted with this, you know, horrible kidney-destroying disease, we're hoping that, A, they might want to get involved to help us combat it. And obviously at these walks, between the research, the education, the awareness, the money raised, and all that, these walks hopefully will help us accomplish our goal. The Levine family, myself, and my brother, and my sister, and my wife, and my mother, and my aunt, and my uncle, and my cousins, the last 5 years, we raised about $800,000 a year. We have 3 events every year. We have a walk on Long Island, which is June 10th of this year. We have a dinner at Citi Field, obviously the home of the Mets. We had that last November, and we raised about $500,000. And then we have a Texas Hold'em poker tournament that my brother Ross Levine, that was his brainchild, and last year that raised about $200,000. So last year, in the last 5 years, we helped raise about $800,000at our 3 events alone.
Mm. The walk that you mentioned, I think you mentioned the date of June 10th. Somebody's interested, listening to our discussion today, is interested in participating. What do they do?
If they want to participate in the walk, if they want to participate, the walk is June 10th on Long Island. It's in Holtsville, Long Island. And if they want to participate in the walk, anybody could certainly get involved. There's no cost involved with it whatsoever. It's more of a fun day and an awareness day, if you will. And all they would have to do, again, is contact the NephCure Foundation, either at the number 610-540-0186, or the website at www.nephcure.org. All they would have to do is contact the NephCure Foundation and say they would like to get involved in any means, way, or fashion. And needless to say, any means, way, or fashion works here, because there's so much work to be done, and it would be very easy to get involved. It'd be very easy to, Bob, when we have our dinner every November, I say to people that, you know, most people think that when I walk into a room, unfortunately, they think I have a target on my back. I don't know if that's the right explanation. They think that I'm automatically coming in the front door and I'm going to ask and beg for money to save my son's life. And ultimately, it's going to take money that's going to save lives here. There's no question. But there's so much you could do for a charity. You could write letters just in awareness and exposure. Helping out a charity doesn't mean, and I've learned that over the past 16 years, doesn't mean you have to raise money tomorrow. There are so many ways charities. You can exchange goods. You can make phone calls. You could write letters. You could. There's so many different ways to help a charity and get involved with a charity. I did not know that myself. I have learned that over the last 6.5 years. Obviously, ultimately, we have to raise money to help the doctors, the researchers, and scientists to find a cure. But there are so many different things that a charity requires, just like any other business, that you can get involved with just from the ground up. And it doesn't require asking for money every minute of every day.
The walk, where on Long Island is this?
The walk is in Holtsville.
Okay.
Holtsville, H-O-L-T-S-V-I-L-L-E. That is, and again, Holtsville, Long Island, that is on June 10th.
Okay. Now, I also need to bring up something that we have not talked about thus far in our discussion, because this kind of leads into this whole area of increasing awareness and also potentially raising money for the NephCure Foundation. Would you tell us about how it is that you guys wound up being on Celebrity Apprentice?
Yes, that's been a life-altering and a life-changing story for myself and my wife, Dana. I decided, Bob, a little while back that in order to try and create a miracle here, and I know, Bob, and you know from the sports world and just from the business world in general, that in order to play, you have to pay. So I decided to take a shot. My brother and I decided to take a shot. And I went on a website called CharityBuzz.com, and I bought a lunch. I was the high bidder on a lunch with Eric Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and Ivanka Trump. And my wife and I had lunch with the Trumps at Trump Tower one day. And as we were sitting at the lunch, I was telling this story to the Trump family. And when we had lunch with them, I said, guys, I'm not here today to ask you for money. And I'm not here to shed any tears. I'm just going to tell you a story about my son. And as I was telling the story, I guess I'm a very loud, passionate guy, or at least I've been told that anyway. A gentleman heard me telling the story about three tables over at the Trump Grill at Trump Tower. And he said, hey, you over there, I hear you telling a story to the Trumps. I want to help your son, and I want to help these sick children. And I went over, I introduced myself. I went back, I continued to tell the story. And this same gentleman yelled back at me. He said, hey, Michael, if you tell this story a little bit lower, because you're talking very loudly to the Trumps, I'll write you a check for $100,000 tomorrow. It turned out his name is Stuart Rohr. He's one of the richest men in the world, and he's been a guardian angel to Matthew, to us. He's been a gift from heaven in that he's decided that he wanted to help out the NephCure Foundation and help Matthew and all these other children afflicted with this horrible kidney-destroying disease. So we had lunch with the Trump family, and then Eric Trump asked me if I would join his dinner and golf board for the Eric Trump golf outing and dinner. All the funds for that golf outing and dinner go to the St. Jude Children's Hospital. So I joined Eric Trump's board for this golf outing and dinner, and we went to the dinner last September, and we were introduced to Teresa Giudice from the Celebrity Housewives of New Jersey. She was introduced to Dana and Matthew at that event. And at that event, Dana and Teresa and Matthew became very close. Teresa could not believe the story, could not believe what we were going through, cannot believe the magnitude of this disease and this story. And then a couple months later, Teresa was asked to play on the on the Celebrity Apprentice. And they said, what charity would you like to play for? And she said, I would like to play for Matthew Levine and the NephCure Foundation. An incredible, incredible day. And again, and like Stuart Rohr, Teresa has been a gift from heaven, an angel on Matthew's shoulders, and all the children and adults battling FSGS nephrotic syndrome, and recently Teresa won $60,000 on the show. A week before, Teresa came very close. We came $14 away from winning $326,000.
Mm-hmm.
And Teresa won $60,000 a couple weeks ago, and she handed the check to Matthew and us on national TV, and it's been an absolute godsend. And you know, I say thank you to the Trump family and thank you to Teresa for creating a show, creating a platform for us to create awareness and exposure for our incredible cause and our little foundation that, as you and I have discussed, that we need to grow exponentially.
We're in discussion with Michael Levine on our program. Michael's a board member with the NephCure Foundation, talking with us on our program here on The Fan. By the way, I think I gave the wrong web address for the NephCure Foundation. It's NephCure, NephCure.org. And earlier you mentioned a telephone number if people want to take the old school approach. Would you repeat that phone number for us?
Of course, Bob. The telephone number for the NephCure Foundation is 610-540-0186. 610-540-0186.
And, you know, in thinking about the kind of exposure for the NephCure Foundation that came about as a result of Teresa, you know, helping to publicize this through Celebrity Apprentice, what does that mean for the foundation?
Bob, I have said to Teresa and I've said to the Trump family that the awareness and exposure that has come about from Teresa playing on the Celebrity Apprentice and everything that Teresa has done, as I said to you, Teresa has been a godsend. She's been a gift from heaven, an angel, if you will. Teresa has decided, she just did a public service announcement, a PSA, if you will, with the children who are afflicted with this disease. Teresa is doing a fashion show in New Jersey next Friday, May 4th. Teresa has basically said, has become so close with my wife Dana and my son Matthew. Teresa has basically said, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whatever you need me to do to help bring awareness and exposure and help Matthew, she has said basically her and her husband Joe, they have said they are all in, 180% committed. So we've asked her to film a public service announcement, which is on YouTube. She's done a fashion show. This past week, In Touch magazine on page 31, there was a picture of Matthew high-fiving Teresa, getting the check from the Celebrity Apprentice for $60,000. So Teresa has used her celebrity and everything that has come with being on The Real Housewives of New Jersey and the Celebrity Apprentice. And I guess the ultimate answer to your question is everything that she's done and the awareness and exposure she's brought is absolutely priceless, because it's just amazing how the website and how the disease and that and how the foundation, how the name is getting out, the name and the foundation getting out to the entire nation, so that we can all, you know, battle this thing together. My son's doctor at Montefiore Medical Center has actually uttered the words that kidney disease of this nature might be the next epidemic of our generation. And if that's the case, Bob, then we're all going to have some serious issues and problems. And that's why I want to get the word out now, so we could start to combat and fight this thing now, and hopefully find some sort of cure or create some sort of miracle for all the children and adults afflicted with this horrible, kidney-destroying, devastating disease.
Now, I understand the foundation also uses ambassadors as part of your efforts to increase awareness and to generate funds. Would you tell us about some of those?
Yes, absolutely. It's another great question, Bob. One of the most prominent people who have battled FSGS and already had a kidney transplant due to his battle with FSGS is Alonzo Mourning. We all know from the NBA, won a championship with the Miami Heat. Alonzo Mourning is an ambassador. He has had a kidney transplant due to FSGS. There was a huge meeting this past week in Miami where they asked Alonzo if he would be the opening speaker and open up the meeting at the meeting in Miami, and Alonzo said no problem and obliged. the backup catcher of the 1986 World Champion Mets who backed up Gary Carter. His name is Ed Hearn. He has had 3 kidney transplants and 2 bouts with cancer battling with FSGS. He is an ambassador for the NephCure Foundation. The former GM of the Baltimore Orioles and the New York Mets, Jim Duquette, his daughter, Lindsay Duquette, had a kidney transplant. Didn't have the kidney transplant yet, had her kidneys removed from her body recently, and it looks like that in May, Jim Duquette is going to give his kidney to Lindsay in her battle with FSGS. He is on the board with me. And another person who was afflicted with FSGS who had a kidney transplant, his name is Sean Elliott, former Arizona Wildcat basketball player, former San Antonio Spur basketball player. But needless to say, Bob, we're always looking for ambassadors, people who will help us in the public world, athletes, actors, actresses, anybody who wants to get involved, who's involved in the public, again, who may want to get on board on this team and help us, you know, create this miracle and try and find a cure. And as we discussed briefly before, there are actually doctors, for instance, Dr. Jochen Reiser at the University of Miami, who actually feel that with enough money and enough funds put towards this thing, that they might be able to find some sort of cure or acceptable treatments for these children and adults to live long lives in their battle against FSGS and nephrotic syndrome.
And Michael, just to follow on something that you said, I believe Lindsay's dad is actually donating kidney to her in
yes,
the transplant.
Yes, Jim Duquette. Right. Jim Duquette, they think is a match, and it looks like in May, Jim Duquette, it's not 100% sure, but Jim Duquette, obviously former general manager of the Orioles and the Mets,
right.
It looks like in May or June of this year, Jim might be giving his kidney to Lindsay.
Interesting. And interesting irony in that he's been involved in calling games literally this weekend, too. You know, when you mentioned at the beginning of talking about those ambassadors, you mentioned the name Alonzo Mourning. That immediately gets everybody's attention, okay? And that sort of name being associated with the effort to try to get a handle on, to try to control, to try to battle this disease, can that be the sort of thing that, along with Teresa's efforts, takes you to the level that you were kind of alluding to earlier when you did the comparison of the monies raised by the NephCure Foundation and the monies raised by Michael J. Fox's foundation?
Yes. I think, Bob, I think it's a good beginning.
Mm-hmm.
With Alonzo Mourning being one of the I happen to be a very big sports fan myself. Alonzo Mourning being known by the world, if you will, if the word gets out there that Alonzo Mourning, and you know this, doing what you've done for the past 30 years plus, if the word gets out there that a person like Alonzo Mourning, you know, has had a kidney transplant. Now, I mentioned to you before the horrible thing about this disease is that Alonzo and everybody else who's afflicted with this disease know that even if you get transplanted, 30 to 70% of the time, the disease can come back and attack the new kidney. And that could be any moment of any day. That could be within, as I've told you before, within an hour of transplantation.
Right.
It could be a week. It could be a month. It could be a year. It could be 10 years. It could come back. So you live in fear every day that this disease could come back because we don't have a cure. So the answer to your question is if Alonzo and Teresa and any actors, athletes, actresses, anybody in the public world, the public eye, get involved, since we're just getting started, there's no telling where we could take, Bob, where we could take this, you know, foundation. And there's, and as I've told you before, there's a doctor at the University of Miami, like Dr. Jochen Reiser. He's actually looked me in the eyes, and he's actually said, with enough money, he thinks he can do the research to create some sort of miracle here and find some sort of cure and save lives. I mean, that's what we're here for. I am in this. I want to create this miracle. I want to find a cure because I want to save lives. Because as I've said before, I don't want any other family going through the same living hell that that the Levine family has gone through the past 6.5 years battling this disease that has no cure, that destroys you from the inside out. And it's just, you know, and obviously, we, as I said, we wait for the axe to fall, you know, every day, because we know the kidneys are like a ticking time bomb.
As you say that, I think it's something I've been thinking about the entire time of our discussion. And this brings us full circle in this discussion to kind of where we started when we were talking about your son, Matthew. For Matthew, despite what he is going through, what does he hope for in his future?
What does Matthew hope for in his future?
Does he talk to you about that?
Bob, I don't think, you know, he's 9 years old. This family is fully invested in the NephCure Foundation. We are 180%, spend a lot of time, maybe too much time, doing what we do. But as I think I said to you earlier in the conversation, Sydney and Matthew, they understand that it's a kidney disease. They don't understand the magnitude of the disease, and I don't think they need to know that as young as they are now. We'll hold off on that. I think Matthew's, you know, goals, and I think Matthew's goals. Matthew's a tennis player.
Okay.
Matthew's a baseball player.
That's what I was looking to get.
Yes. Right. Matthew's a tennis player. Matthew's a baseball player. He played Little League yesterday. He plays tennis 2 times a week. Goes to school. Goes to day camp. So on and so forth. So I would think that what we hope for is just to keep life as normal. Keep life as normal as it can be, because battling this disease is anything but normal. And I think we just, as a family, we want to keep everything on a normal, even keel, so that we try and live normal lives, even though everybody knows us, all our friends and all our family, all the doctors and our family ourselves know that life on a daily basis is far from normal in the Levine household, with all, as I told you, when somebody at the ripe age of 9 years old has to take, you know, 15 to 20 pills a day to combat high cholesterol, high blood pressure, anemia, vitamin D deficiency, you know, every day is far from a normal day in the Levine household.
Mm. It certainly sounds like it, and also sounds like you are able to keep things in perspective as individuals and also as a family, which I guess is kind of a lesson for all of us in terms of how it is that we go about handling things. I want to thank you very much for joining us, sharing the information that you have. Would you please repeat the website and the telephone number that you mentioned for the NephCure Foundation?
Absolutely, Bob, and I want to say it's an honor, a pleasure, and a privilege to be on the radio with you, somebody who's been doing this for 30 years. I appreciate the time. I appreciate giving you the opportunity to bring awareness and exposure to a foundation and a disease that have a huge identity crisis. I appreciate it more than you ever could imagine. As I said, it's been an honor, pleasure, and a privilege on this early Sunday morning. I wish you the best of luck, and all your listeners all the best of luck. And if anybody wants to get involved, the phone number, again, is 610-540-0186, 610-540-0186, and the website is www.nephcure.org, www.nephcure.org.
Michael, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck with your efforts, and please say hello to Matthew for us.
I thank you very much, Bob. I hope you have a good Sunday, a good weekend, and again, it's been an honor, pleasure, and a privilege being on your show, and I thank you very much for giving us the platform and giving me the time to talk about this disease and this foundation.
The privilege was mine. Thank you.